Our text is chapter 4, these words, "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's quite common to want to be something else, something different, to want to change ourselves somehow. Every year, for example, every year on January 1st, New Year's Day, resolutions are made. Resolutions to be different somehow than we are. To act differently, to think differently, and speak differently. Someday. Another example, when we try to lose weight, when we diet, that's what we do, isn't it? We change what we eat. We change even how we think about what we eat. And we change how we talk about eating. Same's true when we begin to exercise again, or change jobs, or move from one place to another, or even watch a movie, a good movie we've not seen before. A movie that causes us to want to change, to think in a different way. I think one of the last movies that I saw that caused me to think in a different way, to want to change how I looked at things, was that movie, that war movie, Saving Private Ryan. You might remember that movie. That movie was about a squad of soldiers sent to the front lines of the European theater of World War II, sent even behind those lines to grab a soldier, Private Ryan, in order to send him to the United States. And they were given this task, this squad of soldiers, because Ryan's three brothers, and this is based on a true story, Ryan's three brothers had already been killed in combat in World War II. And Ryan was needed at home. You see, there had been a sole survivor directive issued by the Defense Department designed to keep families in World War II from losing every one of their sons to that war. Well, those of you who saw that film, yes, years ago now, experienced the horrific nature of battle and the terrible din of war as never before filmed, and by the end of the movie, Ryan had indeed been saved. But all of the squad members sent to save him had been lost. They'd been killed. And as the last one died, the last squad member, played by Tom Hanks, died right in front of Private Ryan, that dying soldier turned to Ryan and said, "Earn this. Earn this." Now, what did he mean? He meant that Ryan's rescue had been at the cost of so many lives, lives of so many good soldiers. So Ryan then should live the rest of his life remembering what his life actually had cost. And of course, there was a greater message too, wasn't there? A greater message in those words, "earn this," to the entire Western world, and that is to earn with our lives today what all of those who died in World War II had sacrificed for us. A profound message, a profound film, life-changing even, for the film pointed out just how so many had given so much. Simply so we can go to Walmart anytime we want and wander around aimlessly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or binge watch a favorite television series for hours on end, stretched out on a couch, mowing on our favorite snacks. Or immerse ourselves in a book, a favorite book that we have read many times before, in a favorite spot, in a favorite chair in the house. Really? With the new knowledge provided by that film, by Saving Private Ryan, with that new knowledge of what it took, the sacrifice made for us to be able to do such simple, such mundane things, we have to look at them in a different way, don't we? Thinking that Tom Hanks' character's words to Private Ryan really were words spoken to us. Earn this! And so, well, maybe we should do something different with our time. At least rethink its usage. And that's similarly what the Apostle Paul is getting at in our text. There in our text, the Holy Spirit of God through Paul, it's urging the Ephesian Christians to rethink how they lived, to rethink how they thought, to rethink how they spoke. For in Christ, being baptized into Christ, washed and renewed and regenerated in Christ Jesus, a new life was theirs. And it was Jesus, their Lord and Savior, who was the one who made that new life possible. For it was Jesus, their Lord and Savior, who was the one who had come to rescue the Ephesian Christians, not from Nazi bullets, but from sin, which is even more deadly than any war. Sin's effectiveness in death is 100%. It was Jesus, their Lord and Savior, who died, who sacrificed himself for them, that is for us, so that we could live and live a new life. In so doing, in suffering and dying on the cross for us, Christ did not then turn to us and say, earn this. As if his death only made our new life a possibility that we must fulfill. But unlike that squad of soldiers who died in saving Private Ryan, having died on the cross for us, Jesus Christ rose again from death, and ascending into heaven, he sends his new life to us. That's what he does. He rises again and sends the life to us that he wants us to live. Jesus, through his word and sacrament, sends his new life to us by means of his Spirit, who then creates that new life within us, a totally new life, which the Scriptures call the new man, or the new self, which is the life which is Christ-like, which is sinless and without spot or blemish. This new life, then, created within us, it exists alongside of the old life. And daily would overcome it, pointing out continually what had been done in order for that new life to come into existence within us. And that is the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus on the cross. Jesus earned this for you. It's the thought of our new man. Jesus earned this for you. So Paul's words, do not listen to that old man. Don't listen to that old self, that former self, which belongs to a life for which there is no redemption, a life only of death, a life only of destruction. For you see, the new man ultimately is going to win out. In the resurrection from the dead, in our resurrection from the dead, there will be no old man, no old Adam, no old self, but only the new self, the new man, the new creation. And that being so, why should we listen now to that which is only brings sin and death? Well, it's pointed out there to the Ephesians why it is that we listen. Our desires, the desires of the old Adam, desires which are at the end of the day deceitful. That is, desires which they promise one thing and they deliver another. Desires that would lead us to do that which will only bring to us death and destruction. A death and destruction which overcomes that new creation within us, which exists within us. But instead, we are to think of ourselves in a new way. That is, we are to be renewed in our thinking, like Private Ryan, looking at our life differently than we did before. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would help us here, encouraging us to live according to the new self, created in the likeness of God, which is created in true holiness and righteousness. Now, and the old Adam, the new life and the old life, could not be sharper. And that contrast was pointed out for us in the gospel reading, where the paralytic lying on his bed is forgiven by Jesus, and being forgiven, he's healed of his paralysis and is able to get up and walk. For what is sin? And then guilt, and then shame, which follows sin, but spiritual paralysis. That is, in sin, when we follow our old Adam's desires, which then are exactly as they are proclaimed to be, deceitful, what happens but being racked with guilt and shame? We then cease to live. In guilt and shame, if we're dealing with that, we can no longer talk, we can no longer think, we can no longer move, for we've become so introspective in our emotions, withdrawing so far within ourselves, that we literally have to be carried around by others. That is, we have to be told what to do and when to do it. For our will to live, to be, even to love in the slightest way, it's been destroyed under guilt and shame. But then the wonder of forgiveness, forgiveness of sins, the touch of the forgiveness of our Lord and Savior, telling us that yes, in Him, our sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Grasping this in faith, our new man is strengthened. We look at the world in a completely new way, having, as we say, a new lease on life, and we can then live and love and do that which is set before us to do. What has happened? But we've been cleansed from the guilt and shame brought on by sin so that we then live and we do and we are. That is what it means to put on the new self. And it can only happen in the wake of the forgiveness of sin, life and salvation, which is ours in Jesus. Admittedly, it can be awkward, and I've said this before, it can be awkward, this putting off of our old self and this putting on of our new. And the reason it can be awkward is that, you know, we really don't know what that new life entails. When Private Ryan was saved there in Germany, he didn't know what the rest of his life would look like afterwards, only that he had been saved from his old life of war, in which he was in danger every single day. I mean, if we can't live in fear, if we can't worry or think poorly of other people, if we can't desire sinful things, or at least contemplate desiring sinful things, what will our life actually look like? How will we act? How will we speak? How will we think? Well, a good way to go about it is, first of all, recognizing when our old self is at work and simply stop. Acknowledging that that is the case, that what we are saying or thinking or doing is what we should not be. Realize then it is a deceitful situation, simply the deception of the world and the devil and our old Adam, and it's not for our good. We can then ask ourselves, what should we do? What is possible for us to do? Which is not something coming from our flesh, from our old Adam. That's when we are being renewed in the spirit of our mind, putting on the new self. No, we're not earning the salvation won for us by Christ, but we are living in it. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.